Welcome to the Becoming You show with me, your host, Leah Rowling. Do you believe you are capable of choosing your future? Sometimes it takes just one person to believe in you, for you to believe in yourself. If you find yourself continuing to say, someday I will take better care of myself, only to continue living the same day over and over and over again, then you, my friend, are in the right place. I am your biggest cheerleader, inspiring you to become you on purpose and with intention. Are you ready to create a life you love? I'm excited to share with you some big ideas that you can use today to inspire, impact, and influence your life and everyone in it. The Becoming You show starts now. Hello, my friends. How are you? I hope you had an amazing week. I hope that you find your inspiration in something. I know some weeks seem to be long and heavy, and sometimes Friday can't get here soon enough, but can you find something to anchor to? Something that reminds you of the good in this world, the good in your life, the good in you. I've been talking to the producer of the show about becoming and the journey of becoming, and there was something off. It didn't seem to have the energy that I wanted. And so we've been flushing out a couple of ideas on what becoming can become. And I'm getting closer on landing that. So stay tuned. I want to share with you today what will mostly end up being a three-part series around a topic that people talk about a lot. A multi-billion dollar industry solves for it. No one is truly immune from it, but I don't think people truly understand the depths of disruption that it causes. It causes doubt and delay and indecision and stress and overwhelm. It steals our time and our money and our peace and our patience and our confidence. I will go as far to say that it steals your life. For decades, I was a maximalist. The constant distraction of that next new thing buffered me from a career that I no longer liked, a harboring resentment that I quote unquote deserve to buy whatever and however much I wanted because I made the money, a deep-seated doubt as to whether or not I should be a stay-at-home mom was quickly answered with a not even in the realm of possibility for you, Leah. I went through the motions of my day to day. I ran my shoes and I ran my credit card over and over and over again to buffer from this gnawing feeling that I should be doing something different, something more with my life. And the realization's always an inner knowing, if you listen. If I wanted to change, I was going to have to change. And this change cured the buffering to feel better because I was better when I lived by design and not by default. All this buffering, the overspending, the overrunning, the overconsuming, the overworking, the overhustling has created massive amounts of what I'm going to talk about today. And that is clutter. Physical clutter, emotional clutter, mental clutter, temporal clutter, behavioral clutter, whatever you want to call it, it's all clutter. And the question I want to ask you is, what if every single thing you have ever wanted in your life is found under your own clutter? Peace, confidence, determination, motivation, commitment, focus, ambition, health, wealth. It is such a robust and yet under-discussed topic in personal development that I might just call this the Live Lighter series, because I truly believe when we become aware of the clutter and know exactly what to do in order to manage and minimize the clutter, that we will have clarity to live our life instead of hiding behind it and under it. So what does living lighter mean? To me, living lighter means living simpler, living happier, living more abundantly, more confidently, more healthy, more freely. Living lighter allows you to become unstoppable. When we think about living lighter, you might think of lighter practically, lighter physically in weight and in stuff. But as I mentioned earlier, it is also figuratively in our mind and our body and our energetic spirit. But today, in this first part of this Living Lighter series, I'll call it, I'm talking about our stuff. When we think about living lighter as it relates to stuff, we think of one word. That's usually clutter. So in order for us to bring in the new, right, we need to get rid of the old. However, bringing in the new does not mean acquiring more things. It actually means the opposite, simplifying. I want to remove so that I have room to breathe, space to choose and not get lost in the stuff, so that I can find my way to what matters. When you think about the word clutter, what comes to mind? 9 times out of 10, your answer is likely to be stuff in your space. Piles of paper on the desk, clusters of toys on the rug, mounds of mail, stacks of magazines on the sofa, piles of laundry on the bed. It looks like a closet busting at the seams with clothes and covered countertops and packed pantries. Look around you. Look around you. Physical clutter reminds us of what we purchased with the hope of being happy. Physical clutter is not only messy, but it feels heavy, overwhelming, and it stresses us out. Research shows that a cluttered home is a stressful home. Things, stuff, even organized stuff has a frequency, an anxious energy. Have you ever thought about how this clutter is affecting you? Not only your bank account, but your potential. Research says the following about clutter. The feeling of joy and freedom is what it feels like when you have the space that is free of clutter. I'm going to read that again. The feeling of joy and freedom is what it feels like when you have the space that is free of clutter. When we have a room or a space filled with clutter, the energy in a room cannot flow freely. It consumes precious time. It makes it difficult to get things done, to find what you need, to live in order and in an efficient manner. Clutter causes stress in part because of the excessive visual stimuli. It also signals to our brains that our work is never done and creates guilt and anxiety and the feeling of being overwhelmed. These visual reminders of disorganization, they drain our cognitive resources and they reduce our ability to focus, retain, and to recall information. So, how does clutter rob you of your potential? It steals your energy, your confidence, your creativity, your happiness, your freedom, and your rest. Living lighter gives it back to you. Here's how. 5 ways. First, it increases your confidence. The more control you have over your clutter, the more confident you will be. When you have less to organize, you become more organized. Less chaos creates more clarity. When you get rid of what you don't want, you are left with what you do. 2, it allows for creativity. If you are like me, I would keep papers. I would keep half-finished courses, notebooks with ideas and inspiration, binders full of workshop curriculums and blog ideas and post ideas. Why do we hold on to all of this past learning, these past ideas? Are we fearful that good ideas only exist in the past? That our future ideas will not be as good? When we don't trust that the universe will provide us with the right ideas, we stay stuck believing that the right idea is in a notebook somewhere, in a cabinet, or in bins in a basement. 3, living lighter reduces our anxiety. Clutter creates chaos, not only in your home, but in your head. Anxiety is an emotion, as you know by now, that is created by our thinking, mostly scarcity thinking. Scarcity thinking is in lack, in not enough. All the stuff reminds you of the money that you spent on that stuff that you might not have needed. It reminds you of time that you spent on consumerism that you could have been spending on other things. It reminds you that your hope to feel better by purchasing that thing was a waste because that thing did not make you feel better. Living lighter allows you freedom. Freedom from stuff that you don't want. Frees you to choose what you do want. Free to have what you want. Everything is easier when you're not tripped up from the clutter. Getting ready is easier. Packing is easier. Cleaning is easier. Living is easier. And lastly, living lighter creates better sleep. Clutter creates tension. Tension in the body, an energetic disruption, a restless feeling of overwhelm. It creates a mind that doesn't shut off and or settle. A mind that wrestles with work that is never done. We spin in the reminders of our procrastination. We judge our inability to do what we say we're going to do. And we take a massive hit on our integrity, a dismissal of what's important because we don't have time to even think about what we want because we're too busy moving around and reorganizing stuff that we don't. I love this quote by Joshua Becker. He says, maybe the life you have always wanted is buried under everything you own. Maybe the life you have always wanted is buried under everything you own. The life I have ever wanted. Scary. Think about it. What would that require? That would require of me to be honest about a job I stayed in but didn't love, relationships that I stayed in but didn't love, a fake persona that I offered to the world under the pretense of fine in the hopes that people might not see through me. It would require me to tell the truth and hurt other people's feelings. It would require me to make decisions when I don't know how. When we are scared to live the life we want, we buffer. And as I mentioned earlier, all of this buffering creates just more clutter, whether it's physical clutter, emotional clutter, mental clutter, temporal clutter, it creates clutter. And we all have good reasons to do this buffering. We buffer to not feel scared. We buffer to not feel discomfort. We buffer to not feel fear. And again, people buffer in a lot of ways. We buffer with food. We buffer with alcohol, with drugs, with gambling. We buffer with social media. We buffer with Netflix. We buffer with retail therapy. We buffer with consumerism. We buffer with our inbox. We buffer by continuing to let life happen to us without a plan so that we can confirm we are too busy to live the life we truly want. We buffer with our distractions and our doubts and our tolerances. All of these buffers create clutter. We create clutter to sabotage what we want in life so we don't have to be scared to actually live it freely without the distractions of clutter. The clutter deafens our calling and defeats our potential. I buffered with shopping. I buffered with running. All of the overconsumerism kept me busy from actually feeling my feelings, resisting the nudge that what I was doing was not in an alignment with who I was, rather an avoidance of who I was being. And so I swiped unconsciously. I swiped to be happy. I swiped to feel connected. I swiped to be liked. I swiped to be understood. I swiped to be validated. I swiped to be trendy. I swiped to be popular. Swiping the card to swipe away the concerns of my life. When you clear this clutter, my friends, you could hear the voice of the calling you home, calling you back to where the truth lives. The truth that will free you from the need to distract yourself from yourself. You will no longer need to outrun your life. You will be freed to live it. So let's talk about the physical clutter. Let's talk about the stuff. By definition, physical clutter is any item in your space that is outdated, unwanted, unused. It serves no useful purpose. It impedes natural movement or has generally outworn its welcome. And if you are overwhelmed by all of your stuff, you are not alone. Friends, let me hit you up with some facts. The U.S., the average U.S. home has 300,000 items in it. 300,000. 54% of Americans are overwhelmed by the amount of clutter they have. 78% of this 54% have no idea what to do with it. The average American spends $18,000 on non-essential items. And our solution to this overwhelming clutter is one of three things. One, spring cleaning. Every spring, we go through our closets and our drawers and our cabinets with the hopes of minimizing, simplifying, and starting anew. However, as long as we don't change our consumerism, we will continue to have to declutter every spring. The second thing we do is we organize. We think that if we organize our stuff better, that it will be less overwhelming. Out of sight, out of mind, right? Unfortunately, no. Even organized stuff, as I mentioned before, takes up space in our homes and our heads. It zaps us of our energy and it increases our stress response. Interesting to note that retail sales of home organization products is in the billions. Third, we find overflow spaces. Basement storages are turned into overflow closets. Bathroom closets are no longer just for towels and bathroom essentials, but random items that have lost their space to, well, or clutter. Precious real estate under our beds now houses these underbed storage containers. So why do we buy? Trust me, we have good reasons. That dopamine hit is real, but fleeting. Our consumption, no doubt, outpaces what we get rid of. How much money do we spend? How much time do we spend? Let's break it down. Money is exchanged for value. When you spend money on stuff, you are not just spending money on that thing, but you are prioritizing that thing over something else. If you didn't buy that thing, what else could you have bought? Have you ever kept a running log of the things that you buy? When I did, I was shocked. The random miscellaneous items that I for sure did not need and I for sure did not have a place for, and to be honest, I wasn't really even intentional about, equated to $890.47 in 1 month. And I was monitoring it. That's more than $10,000 a year. I promise you, I'd much rather have spent $10,000 on travel and experiences than trinkets and conveniences. In examining my month spend, 80% of the spend was due to convenience and impulse. Bottled waters, drive-through coffees, packaged foods, treats for the kids, magazines, hair ties. What? I have 1,000 of them. It was just more convenient at the time to buy it than to find it. Maybe I wouldn't need all of the convenience and impulse if my clutter didn't steal my time and my organization. So I want to unpack why we keep things. And here are some of the reasons that I came up with. First, we spend money on it. The average American, as I just mentioned, spends $18,000 a year, almost $1,500 a month on non-essential items. All the things in your home used to be money. I know sometimes I will look at something I bought, a sweater or a purse, and I think, oh man, I spent a lot of money on that, but I haven't worn it or used it. And if you continue to keep it, you're still paying for it. It's just with a different currency. You are paying for it because it takes up precious real estate in your home and your mind. Let it go. We keep things for sentimental value. Your kids' toys, art, blankets, photo albums, items that represent the past in some way. Choose what will help you look forward to the future and let go of the rest. We keep things out of obligation. You received a gift that you either don't like or it doesn't fit your style in some way, but you can't get rid of it because that would be mean or inconsiderate. So you store it in your home unused because you don't want to hurt feelings. Want some tough love? Some tough truth? You have zero power over how they will feel about you giving the gift away. Have you ever considered that perhaps they would prefer someone actually enjoying the gift as opposed to it collecting dust on your basement shelf? Number four, we think we might use it for a rainy day. Maybe you might want it, but chances are you won't. And here's what I know is true. If you decide that you need it, and as an absolute in your new minimalist lifestyle, I'm guessing there will be a shop that will sell you something even better than what you had. And if you decide to keep it, just like your reasons. And lastly, so many people, 74%, don't even know where to start. They look around at their spaces, the pantry, the entryway, the closets. Yes. All of them, all of the closets, and wonder what in the heck happened. How is it possible to acquire so much stuff? It seems I just reorganized and decluttered not too long ago. Where did this all come from? Which might just want you to throw in the towel and give up. Please don't. Where to start is irrelevant. Starting is all that is required. What if the life you want is under all the stuff you don't? Can you be brave enough to find it? Courageous enough to let go of the meaning that you give to your stuff and fine-tune the meaning of your life? I get it. It's scary to step into your potential. It's full of challenges and obstacles. We think these are there to stop us, but they're not. They're there to serve us. They are the reminders that we are taking bold action that may be uncomfortable, yes, and hard, absolutely. That is how you know that you are living your life as opposed to buffering it away, cluttering the path, familiar, no doubt, with the chaos, addicted to the stress and the overwhelm, tolerating the confusion, dismissing the nudge that whispers, I want more for you. And it isn't more stuff. If you like this episode, would you do me a huge favor? Would you share it with your favorite people and ask them to do the same? We all have clutter. None of us are immune from it. Give this gift of a decluttered life to some of your favorite people that you want to do this life with. And if you want to take what you're learning on this podcast to the next level, I want you to check out our Becoming group at www.leahrowling.com/becoming. It's an online coaching community where we break down these big topics like living lighter by decluttering our life. And we break it down and we do it masterclass and workshop style. I offer practical steps for growth and transformation to give you insights and thoughts about areas of your life, hoping to open a door for you to inquire about, to think about, to reflect on, and to make a plan to improve. Live lighter, become unstoppable, and I will see you next Friday. We're going to continue with the Live Lighter series. I hope you'll join me then. Take care. See you soon. Bye.
You have been listening to the Becoming You Show with me, your host, Leah Rowling, where I share big ideas to inspire, impact, and influence your life. Tune in every Friday at 11 Central on transformationtalkradio.com for your morning cup of coffee, the hug you never want to end, and that inspirational message that you felt was written just for you. Each show is inspiring you to become you with purpose and intention. For more information or to connect with me, visit www.leahrowling.com.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.